Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Matthew's Weekends right here on 104.5 The Zone. Alan, it's great to have you back on this week. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are excellent. We enjoyed the big discussion topics with you last week, and we'd like to kick it off this week with, you know, everyone talks about the great starts across Major League Baseball, but I think one thing we can discuss today, teams like the Reds, the Orioles, when you know you're bad in the pit of misery, so to speak, early in the season, how do you approach it as a club, as a manager, as a player? Are there different approaches based on where you are within the organization?
Well, there are different approaches, but I think the most important approach is that everyone would, from within the organization, starting with ownership, the general manager, the front office staff, and then the field staff, the manager and all the coaches, everyone needs to be on the same page. And what I mean by that is your owner and general manager, they can't have the feeling that you are going to be a competitive club. And then the field staff, who works with the guys and are around the guys on a daily basis, even more so than you are with your own families during a baseball season, they can't have a difference of an opinion for what's expected. If you are the Cincinnati Reds, for example, and you are obviously in a rebuilding stage, you need to understand that our first priority is this is the club that we're going to start the season with. And then you have some kids. Take a Nick Senzel, for example, who played at UT. Someone like him, they're monitoring his progression very, very closely right now and deciding upon when to call him up and get him a taste and get him ready to play in the big leagues, because he is a part of your future. So the number one thing for me is everyone is in agreement with what's expected of this club and how we're going to get our guys for the future, how we're going to get them to the big leagues, and when we're going to get them there and get their feet wet.
So for the Braves tonight, it looks like Ronald Acuna is going to see his first action, getting called up to the big club. And it's funny, we just talked about the Reds. The Reds, off to a terrible start, actually won the first two games of the series against the Braves. And here you have the Braves off to a surprisingly good start this year. They look like a team that could be competitive, maybe, deep into the season, at least competitive for .500 this year. So how do you handle that on the flip side, bringing a guy up that everyone in baseball loves, but you also have a guy at his position in Preston Tucker who's off to a good start? So how do you manage that with bringing the young kid up?
Well, I think Preston Tucker probably knew when he broke with the big club headed north out of spring training, he probably knew that it was just going to be a matter of time. He's going to, for the betterment of the club and the team chemistry, he's going to have to accept the role that Brian Snitker and that staff give him and define for him moving forward. If you have any type of dissension from within the clubhouse and from within the players, it can create for really a cancerous type atmosphere, and that will kill a ball club quicker than anything else.
Alan, for a player being brought up from the minors that's anticipated to join the club like Acuna has been, as a hitting coach, for instance, how many one-on-one or face-to-face coaching have you had with that said player, most likely, before he joined you?
Several. Probably most when I was with Seattle. We had almost a revolving door with some of the injuries that we had. In my second year there, we didn't re-sign Beltre. We didn't re-sign Russell Branyon, who had a monster year for us the year before. So we just kind of had a revolving door of people that were coming from the minor leagues up, and they would have about a 3-week trial period and then maybe go back down. Some would stay. It's really you coach more like you're in the minor leagues. It takes a little bit of time to get to know the individual, although you have spent some time with those players in the spring training setting. But regular season and spring training are two different animals. So you need to familiarize yourself with the player, what he does well, communicate with the minor league staff that has been around this kid the most, and just get a good feel for what he can do, not only physically, but his aptitude mentally, what he can handle, what he can't, and then you take it step by step.
Weather's been a real issue in the early going. A lot of postponements, a lot of delays in games. How difficult is that for a team to know? You're looking at the forecast all the time to know, hey, maybe we'll have a game tonight, maybe not, and to not get in that rhythm you want to get into early in the year. How would you manage that when you were with different clubs?
You know, it's that obviously you can't do anything about the weather. The problems that I always felt with the scheduling in Major League Baseball is you have a lot of off days already scheduled in early into the season. And I think they do that because, you know, you're only allowed a 25-man roster, and I think they do that probably more for the pitching, just to make sure that the pitchers are stretched out and no one's going to get hurt in the early part of the season. But it's difficult. You know, baseball is a game of routine. And there have been times where I've been on clubs where we were rolling. I mean, absolutely rolling. And then all of a sudden a scheduled off day comes up and it just kind of breaks that rhythm and breaks that routine. And we come back that next day, and we just don't quite have the same edge, if you will. It's very, very difficult. You can go to the ballpark, you can go to the cage, and you can get some work done on off days, and even on rainouts or snowouts earlier in the year. That's what clubs do. They'll go in and they'll still get a little workout in. Pitchers will throw, hitters will hit. It'll all be done indoors, but it still doesn't replace the fact of getting out and competing and playing on a regular basis.
Alan Cockrell, longtime hitting coach for Major League Baseball, most recently with the Yankees, excellent football and baseball player for the University of Tennessee. Nice enough to join us again this week. And Alan, are you on with Doug this weekend?
I am. Yep, Saturday morning, and then again Sunday morning.
Excellent. We look forward to listening to that. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yep, Alan Cockrell with us here on the Midday 180.
Weather's been bad around baseball. Weather's going to be good here, though, over the weekend. Sounds are actually back in town tonight. So if you're...
70s and sunny this weekend.
Yeah, but if you're listening to that and wanting to catch some live baseball, Sounds back home tonight over at First Tennessee Park, 7 o'clock. So go check that out.
We'll get the latest from PK. He just caught up with Mike Vrabel over at St. Thomas Sports Park.
6:35 p.m., my bad, on the Sound start time tonight. 6:35.
Okay. So we'll get Paul's take on Vrabel. And so last night there was this tweet from Delanie Walker that was making the rounds. Is Delanie upset with his contract? Doesn't sound like that's the case. But we'll get Paul to clarify some things for us when we come back. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Claire and I have started the process. We're searching for the new home. We're turning to the number one real estate team in Middle Tennessee to help buy and sell our home. The Huffaker Group, just named number one real estate team in Middle Tennessee. They sold over 1,700 homes, $250 million in real estate. For the client, this means expertise and experience. Call them today, 833-THG-NASH, 833-THG-NASH. They have offices in Mount Juliet, Murfreesboro, and Franklin. Claire and I were just visiting the Huffaker office in Murfreesboro yesterday. Your agent specializes in your neighborhood. They're involved in your community. For instance, Tiffany Young in Murfreesboro lives in Murfreesboro. She's been extremely helpful with us as we started to prepare a home for sale, and we're ready to make that move. The Huffaker Group, they buy and sell all over Middle Tennessee. They're knowledgeable in all of the surrounding areas of the state. Winning matters. The Huffaker Group, they get it done, and the stats back it up. They sell a home every 18 hours. They sell homes for $15,000 more than market average. They're ready to go to work for you. Their website is awesome. It updates every 15 minutes. THGTN.com. It's linked directly to the local MLS. THGTN.com. Real estate is local. The trusted website you're using should be too. Check out the Huffacre Group online at THGTN.com. Or give them a call right now like we did. 833-THG-NASH. Buying or selling in Middle Tennessee, the Huffacre Group opens doors. The Huffacre Group of Keller Williams Realty, 615-758-8886.